Yes, the Yard Site is a time to revisit the legacy that little bit left. Sort of relearn him. Inspired once again. I'd like to divide this into two parts, Agada and Halacha, although the messages are all going to be more or less the same. Let me begin. As mentioned, we had a very close relationship. The knew everything. Yes, it was part of, I guess it was one of the most prestigious batei-din in the world. Most respected in America for sure. Rosh Kol, where he was giving over the Derech HaLimud that he got, he had studied under Avraham Berman, known as the Lamdin, that legendary group of the Mir Yeshiva of Shanghai. Came to Aish. And shared his enthusiasm for learning, his love of that which made sense. And then came here and learned on the job very much how to run a kahila. It is so diverse. Of the midas that really stood out, his chesed, his love for Jews, and his desire to help and be there for people. And of course, hoping that there'd be no recognition of it by anyone else. It's financial chesed. It's chesed using his talents. It's chesed of time. And an area that he invested so much in was bitachon. And I'd like to talk a little bit about the relationship between chesed and bitachon. And perhaps share with you a very important principle in Judaism. Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem, Hareini Noas Kvodech, I want to see you. And Rambam explains that what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking Hashem was, I want to understand you with the kind of clarity that one gets when he can see something. So Hashem answers in Kol Yirani Adam V'Chai, so long as a human being is alive, our frames of reference are all finite. There's no way we can fully comprehend Hashem. But Varisas Achorai, I'll give you a glimpse. I'll give you something that you can see. Achorai, after I passed from behind, say Chazal, what is that? He showed him the Kesher Tefillin Shel Rosh. Kesher Tefillin Shel Rosh. What is the significance of the Kesher Tefillin Shel Rosh? The Kesher is strategically located at the point where the brain and the spine meet. That is where the brain sends messages to the body through the spinal cord that gets the body to do whatever the brain decided for it to do. Why did Hashem show him that? And the good books tell us. This was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is referred to as Avdi, Eved Ne'eman. He's a servant of Hashem, a reliable servant of Hashem. What does that mean? What it means is that there was no gap between everything Moshe Rabbeinu knew and everything Moshe Rabbeinu did. His brain and body were one. With every new insight into Torah, with everything new that he knew, it immediately was turned to action. There was no gap whatsoever. There was no such thing as I know, but. So that's why you saw Hashem. That aspect of Hashem that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to comprehend in this world was the aspect of Hashem, where Hashem, of course, there's no gap between wisdom, action. That aspect of Hashem he was able to see because that's what he was. We'll contrast that with a different Navi, Bilam. Unlike all the other Nevi'im, the other prophets, to attain prophecy, the Rambam gives us the whole order of our Pinchas Ben Yair gives us the ladder. It's greatness. It's arriving at a point where one can actually experience Hashem. Bilam was given a gift because the nations of the world would have a claim that they never had access to Nevuah, to prophecy. So Bilam was given prophecy. And he was a Yodea Das Elyon, the Pasuk says. He knew Hashem's Das. What was his expertise? What was it that Bilam knew of Hashem like nobody else? Kael Zo'em B'chol Yom. The fact that Hashem gets angry every day for some fraction of a second, and Bilam knew just when that was. Yeah. What was Bilam all about? About himself. It had to be like him. Or else. What did he find in Hashem? Anger. That was Bilam. The Yodea Das Elyon. But what could he see in Hashem? Himself. Cause. I'd like to share with you what I believe is shot in the beginning of Parshas Vayera. It's a bit of a chiddush. I hope you'll appreciate it. Vayera Elav Hashem. Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu. Rashi says it was Shlishi L'milaso, it was the third day after his circumcision. As the Maral points out, he's a chola kol gufo, he's considered ill. Hashem came to visit, pick a hold of. Very interesting. The Gemara tells us, and this actually is brought to halacha. The Gemara tells us the Shechina is above every cholam. Lamala mira shosav, he's over his head. The Shechina, when you go visit someone who is ill, so the halacha is you have to work out where you're sitting. Don't get in the way of the Shechina. There's a halacha. There's a Shechina that's present with anyone who's not well. What was special about Avraham Avinu's Vayera Elav? So I dare to say that it was Avraham Avinu who was able to comprehend that Shechina that visits anyone who is ill. Because Avraham Avinu was all chesed. Avraham Avinu was the one that made the world familiar with the concept of chesed. Avraham Avinu grew up in a world filled with tyranny. To go introduce Hashem, who created for one purpose only, which is Baruch Lahaytiv. Humanity could understand such a thing. Avraham Avinu first introduced to this world the concept of chesed with a fanaticism. Then they could understand Hashem. When we say Elokei Avraham, what do we mean in Shemoneh Yisrael? Elokei Avraham. The Elokim that was brought to this world through Avraham Avinu's Midas HaChesed. Avraham Avinu was able to see the Bikur Cholim of Hashem like no other person who's ill because of who he was. But wait, it's not over. So what does he tell us? Don't leave. Don't leave. But what was he saying? Avraham Avinu now had an opportunity. He was ill. He sees three. What did he know? Thought there were three Arabs who worshiped the dust on their feet. So here he was, ill. Kolakogufo gets a visitation from Hashem because he's ill. Now he's got an opportunity to do chesed on a whole different level, chesed with mesiras nefesh. Chesed when he's not well, when he's in pain, when he's weak. So he says, Hashem, wait here. Don't go away. Because I want to do chesed on a whole different level now so I can come back and experience your bigger cholim, the Shechina, on a whole different level. Wait for me. Don't leave. I want to be able to experience your bigger cholim on a whole new level. This is the reality of it. Everyone's got their own image of what Hashem is. What they see in him very much reflects what they are. The Pasuk, when it recounts the Chatoim of the Dor HaMidbar, and Kostin is having said, the sin is Hashem, Hashem's hatred for us that he took us out of Egypt. What were they saying? That's what they saw in Hashem. They saw hatred. It was a statement about themselves. Growing up, pretty much all the adults I knew were Holocaust survivors. For the most part, the ones I knew best, the ones davened in our local shtiebel, and they had an emuna that was just unshakable. A love for us. A real love for Hashem that was difficult to comprehend after all they went through. And they would recount miracles that they witnessed. They were much more eager to talk about that than about the horrible experiences they saw around them all the time. and yet others came out of the Holocaust angry, denying Hashem. Now, who are we to judge? Who are we to judge? No better way to describe we who grew up with everything and still found things to complain about. There's a bunch of spoiled brats. But how is it so many experienced the Holocaust and came away denying Hashem or hating him or both? And others came away from the Holocaust with a strength of emunah that's just indescribable. And it's not for us to judge, but it seems pretty clear that very much what people saw in Hashem during the Holocaust depended on who they were. I have to be careful. I'm not judging, I'm just noting from the people I knew. What is Bitochen all about? Bitochen is walking around with a confidence. Hashem loves us. Hashem takes care of us. Hashem only does what's best for us. How do you build your bitachon? How do you build your bitachon? When you're like that, when you care, when people can count on you, about chesed, about achrayis, one who takes responsibility for others. No coincidence. Of Milinowitz, a giant in chesed, a giant in achrayis, took personal responsibility for anything that he saw as an issue in the individual, in the kehillah. There's no fudging it. That's what he saw in Hashem. Yes. His glimpse of Hashem was Hashem that you can trust. The Hashem who's all-giving and always reliable. And if you didn't understand, that's your issue. No questions. No worries. It's all one. I guess the lesson for all of us is you really want to be talking? You want to be calm? How do you get around anxiety? Turn yourself into someone that can be counted. Be there for others. Be there for the community. Be there for clowns. I'm going to move on now to the halacha side, but it's not unrelated. It's a sugya that many, many who are serving the tzibur struggle with. It's a classic Chasam Sofer in his Kedushim and Chumash. Parshas Kedoshim on the Pasuk V'ahavta lo ra'acha kamocha. He brings the Gemara of Rabbi Akiva Zekhal Gadol v'Torah says the Chasam Sofer. Zekhal Gadol v'Torah. The kamocha, that there's total equality, is something that applies only to Torah. And he explains, even though the Pasuk says, which means that your love for everyone else should be equal to that of yourself, which of course means that you should be involved in helping people no less than you do for yourself, your family. That's not the halacha. There's a halacha of chayecha kodmim. The halacha is your first responsibility is your own family. Says the Chasam Sofer, where is this pasuk absolute? When it comes to Torah, there has got to be total equality. There's no such thing as, I don't have time to go teach because I have to learn. Total equality. Your own learning does not win out over teaching. So some sort comes with Moshe Feinstein in the tshuva. It's in that. Ebenezer Chelik Dalit Simim Kuf Mem He. And he argues with him. He argues with him La Lacha. And he brings up a Feirish Gemara. Not like a Chasam Sof. Maran Kedushin. Maran Kedushin Chavtez. Mother says, you only have a certain amount of money. You can either support yourself in learning or support your son in learning. The halacha is your learning comes first. Unless your son shows promise and he's going to be some great person in Kol Yisrael, then you invest. But otherwise, your own learning comes first, says Rav Moshe. If your own learning comes before the learning of your son, then how could you tell me that your own learning doesn't come before teaching others? Your own son doesn't come before you. You come before him. Then certainly strangers. He argues, he talks about, how much time does a Talmud Chacham have to give for teaching others at the expense of his learning? And he says, Meiser, give a tenth. The same way you give Meiser Ksafim, the same way you give a tenth of your earnings. You give a tenth of your time. That's his psalm. Remember growing up in the world of yeshivas, I was thrown this line many times, Chayecha Kodmim, you come first. Just worry about your own learning. Don't worry about anyone else yet. It didn't sit well. Until I got to the mirror. I got to see Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zichrono Livracha. I learned day and night. His love of Torah was endless. But anyone that asked to learn with him, he would learn. He had all kinds of chavrusas. He had a daily chavrusa, a group of chassidish kids that learned in Sfas Emes, Gerach Chassidim. They asked if they could learn with him. He learned with them every single day. All kinds of interesting couples. There's no such thing as no. You are. His weekly schmoozing, and then his chumash here. Basically, the message was, you've got to be there for everybody. With regard to learning, he used to say, learning is a gift. You work hard, it's still a gift. It's a mitzia. It's like finding something in the street, Hashem gives it to you. When do you think he'll give it to you more? When you're selfish or when you care about others? That's that well. But Rav Moshe's kasha was still a problem. Of a fairy should go, are not like the sun, so what do you do? What do you do? In defense of the Chasam Sofer, and I believe this is true. In that sugi in Kedushin, in Chavtes, we find there's a whole sugya of mitzvahs haben al ha'av. The mitzvah of the son that is fulfilled by the father. Mila. The mitzvah is a mitzvah for the son to really circumcise himself. And if he grows up and he did not have a bris milah as a kid, he's got to do that. Who carries out that mitzvah? The father. If he doesn't, then Klal Yisrael has to, Beis Din has to. The Ruchem Fishel parallel in his Hagos on the Sefer. I go, if you call him that, it's most of the Sefer. But the Sefer on Mitzvahs, Reb Sadia Gaon, points out that Reb Sadia counts one mitzvah that one should be circumcised, meaning the mitzvah of a ben, and another one on Beis Din. He does not count a third mitzvah for the father. He says that is proof that it's not the father's mitzvah. The father is carrying out the mitzvah of the son. Not so with Beis Din, where they have their own mitzvah. But it's the father's carrying out the son's mitzvah. It's not the father's mitzvah. It's the father's responsibility to see to it that the son's mitzvah is fulfilled. It's the same with Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen, if a bechor was not redeemed by his father, he's got to redeem himself. Pidyon HaBen is referred to as Mitzvah HaBen HaLa'av. It's really the son's mitzvah. But when he's 30 days old, it's the father that does it for him. It's Mitzvah HaAv Al HaBen. And therefore, the Gemara tells us, who liftos of no liftos? Someone has five sloim, the amount that you've got to give to a kohen. He is a firstborn and his son is a firstborn. He realizes no one ever redeemed him, and he also has his own son to redeem. By the way, in the world of Kiruv, this is common. A father about to do a Pidyon HaBen for his son realizes he never had one. But he only has five sloim. He can only afford to redeem one. Who does he redeem? Himself or his son? Says the Gemara, he redeems himself. Why? Because this is begufo, this is himself. What does the Gemara mean? Because this is himself. Because this is his own mitzvah. The need to redeem his son is his son's mitzvah that he is fulfilling. Fulfillment of your own mitzvah comes before fulfillment of someone else's. Even if it's your own, even though it's a mitzvah of Allah ben, but it's not the ben himself. It's not the ben himself. It's the av who's responsible for the ben's mitzvah. So now we get back to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Rambam starts off Hilchos Talmud Torah in a very interesting way. Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Nashim Vavonim Uktanim, Tur Mitama Torah. By the way, this is an old Rambam. In the Franco, he brings that the real Girsi is Nashim Va'avodim Pturim Mitama Torah. And the next line makes it clear that that's true. Avol Kotin Oviv Chayiv L'olam Do Torah. Shnei Limatam Osim Is B'nei Chama Daber. Noshim Va'avodim are potter from Talmud Torah. K'tanim, they're not potter from Talmud Torah. But how do they fulfill their mitzvah? They're K'tanim. Oviv Chayiv L'olam Do Torah. Seems very clear from the Rambam that the mitzvah of Olimatim Osam is B'neichem is a mitzvah's haben al ha'am. It's the son's mitzvah of Talmud Torah that is incumbent upon the father. Now, if that's the case, if someone can only afford either to support himself in learning or his son, he comes first. This is a direct parallel to Pidyon HaBen. One is my own mitzvah, and one is my son's mitzvah that I'm responsible for. The question, though, is what are these two mitzvahs? There's a mitzvah of Olamatim Osam Es B'neichem, the mitzvah to teach your children, which we are now translating as a mitzvah of mitzvahs haben al ha'am. What is the mitzvah to learn, for one to learn himself? So the Rambam mentions lo limdo aviv, and this is the Brisa in Kiddushin there. Olamatim Osam Ushmatim Lasosam. But there's another mitzvah. There's a mitzvah v'shinam tom levonech. And the Gemara says, and Rambam brings it also, Vishnandam Lavanev is a mitzvah to teach your Talmidim. Now, 1 second. That's a mitzvah's HaTalmidim al Rebbe. That's a mitzvah to teach Talmidim. So why shouldn't that give Kedima to the Talmidim and one's son also? True, the mitzvah of Olamatim Osam is B'neichem. That mitzvah is the mitzvah of Ben Alav. But what happened to Vishnantam with the mitzvah? So we read the Rambam. It says something very interesting. Halacha base. Kishem Shrai Vodim Lulamit is Beno Kahu Chai Vulamit is Ben Beno, the same way you have to teach your children, you have to teach your grandchildren. Volobino Ben Beno Bilvad, Elamiso Kokum, the Kokum Yisrael, Lulamit is Kolatami the Mafobi Shadim. You have to teach everybody. Shinema Vishantul Vonecho, Mipia Shmuel Lamdu, Bonecho Elo Tami Deho, Shatalmidim Queen Bonim. Your Talmidim are called your children. Shinema Rayetu Ben Yanavi. In Cain, Loman is Staval Benoval Ben Benola Hakim Benola Ben Benola Ben Benola Ben Chavim. The next halacha, halacha gimel. By the way, the Orsamea points out that they put the gimel for the next halacha in the wrong place. It really belongs later. The truth is, the early manuscripts of the Rambam don't even have numbers of halachas that may have been put in later. And if you see how they're punctuated, this is a continuation of Bay's. The Rambam says another reason why the Pusik singles out your son is because for your son you've got to spend money, for others you're not money. That means for the mitzvah of Olimatim Osam is B'neichem, you have to pay. For the mitzvah v'shinantam levonecho, ilu atalmidim, you don't have to spend. Why is that? Lech HaMishnah asks, where did the Rambam get that you have to spend money on the mitzvah of Olamatim Osam is B'neichem? And the answer to that is Pashut. Where does it say that you have to spend money on any of the tarya mitzvahs? Every mitzvah, you got to spend money. You got to be kind of mitzvah. You need tefillin. You have to pay for tefillin. You need arba minim. You got to pay for arba minim. Mitzvahs cost money. Why should this be any different? So the answer is the matamos benechem, which is mitzvahs ben alav. You have to spend money the same way you spend money on pidyon ben. Vishinantam levanecha is a different kind of mitzvah. It is not a mitzvah that requires you to teach Talmidim. And let me point out that there's a very big difference in the phraseology of the pasuk and the way the Rambam brings it as well. The pasuk the Rambam quotes from Matan is Bnei Chem bo. The pasuk continues, "You should teach your children to speak in Torah," which, by the way, means you have to teach your children not only Torah, but how to talk and learning. In other words, how to be a Talmud. That speaking Torah is their life. That a Jew meets another Jew. What do you talk about? You talk about Torah. You have a chiddush. You have a word. What's the mitzvah of Vishinantam Levanecha? It doesn't say Vishinantam Levanecha. Sheyedavru bo. Or Vidyadavru bo. Vishinantam Levanecha. Vidibarto bo. You will speak Torah. What happened? The pasuk is changing in the middle. If you read the pasuk straight, what the pasuk is saying, you should always be talking Torah and should be sharing it with other people also. Levanech means you're talking, that means you want to share it with everybody. You're so enthusiastic about it, you want to share it with absolutely everybody. This is a halacha in your own learning. This is not your chiyuv to educate the masses. This is your chiyuv to be so excited about your learning that you share it with everybody. The mitzvah to teach your children, they have a mitzvah to learn Torah. It is your mitzvah when they're young to teach it to them for them. Be mekayem their mitzvah. And that's your mitzvah you've got to spend money. The other mitzvah, Vishnantam Levanecha, is the mitzvah to be enthusiastic about learning and share it with everybody because of your own enthusiasm for learning. That you don't spend money on. It doesn't cost anything. Says the Rambam. You only have to spend money on your son, not on others. If that's the case, so of course, Rav Moshe's proof against that some sofer doesn't begin. We're talking about spending money for Talmud Torah. That's only a halacha of your son because of mitzvah ben alav, and that's why you have kedima because it's mitzvah ben as opposed to your own mitzvah. Milinowitz. The beauty of the idea, the beauty of the sound. He loved the chokhmah, the wisdom of it. Wow, how it made sense. He made sense of everything he learned. And he was deep. And he loved it. And that was an enthusiasm that was contagious. That's how he taught. That was his vision. He got people to learn because of his own passion for learning. He also gave so much of his time to the tzibur. Let us not forget, he was one of the greatest Marbitzei Torah of not only the generation, but for generations to come, as the editor of the Shatnasdin Shas. And I remember the times that we were in discussion over his contemplating how to learn a particular Gemara. What is the way to present it? He knew it. He knew it all already. What's the real meaning and how do you get it across? The combination of accuracy and accuracy in the transmission. He loved to learn. And he gave so much time to Klal Yisrael of his own learning for the sake of Harbatz's Torah, for the sake of spreading it, for the sake of spreading out his Torah. Verse says, Talmidei Chachamim have no rest, not in this world, not in the world to come. They have no rest in this world, we know. In the world to come, it says, why not? Because when you say something over in the name of a Talmud Chacham, Sifsosov, it says his mouth, so they're bovavos like ever, it's like he's talking. He hasn't stopped talking. It's nonstop. Non-stop more than anybody else. So yes, my personal real learning of Chaim Olinowitz is how his very self was chesed and prize. And his understanding of Hashem is bitachon. His love for learning was such that he gave of his own learning for the sake of sharing it with the masses literally. Everyone that was around him caught that love for learning. That love for the spine, that love for how it made sense. We continue to remember him and continue to work within ourselves to really develop these midas, these hanhagas. It'd be a schus for him and let him be a schus for all of us. So, y'all game.